The Mystery of Edwin Drood is a musical by Rupert Holmes, for which he received Tony Awards for Best Book and Best Original Score in 1986. The show, then called Drood, also won Best Musical that year. Based on Charles Dickens's last unfinished novel and murder mystery, the show stops just before the murderer is revealed, and at each performance, the audience decides who done it. Rupert Holmes has adopted the script into a new, quick, and hilarious 90-minute version. The new version will be presented at Hubbard Hall in Cambridge, New York, with a further adjustment by Holmes for the action of the play to be set at Hubbard Hall. Performances begin tonight, and we are joined now by composer, playwright, lyricist Rupert Holmes. Rupert, good morning. Very nice to have you on the program.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Joe.
Thank you very much. And executive and artistic director of the Hubbard Hall Center for the Arts and Education, David Andrew Snyder. Thank you very much for being with us as well.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure.
Very nice. So let us begin with you, David, of how this came to be.
So I saw Mystery of Edwin Drood in 1988 when I was 17, and ever since then have thought about it and loved the show. About 2 years ago, after I arrived at the hall, I thought about Hubbard Hall is a 19th century opera house, vaudeville house. Mystery of Edwin Drood came to mind, obviously, as something that would fit perfectly. But I thought about the size of it, and I wasn't sure how we would take it on. And I was speaking to a friend of mine who runs a theater in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he said, you know, there's a theater that just did a chamber version of Drood. It's a brand new sort of chamber version, and maybe you should find out about that. So I called the theater down there. I never heard back, but 2 weeks later, I had a voicemail from Rupert Holmes saying, I heard you're asking about this version that we have. It's a new chamber version. I'd love to talk about it. We talked for about 90 minutes on the phone about the hall, about the musical, about how Rupert may be interested in actually setting it in the hall, and it just seemed like a magic moment for us to be able to do this, and so that's been the last year's journey.
So what intrigued you, Rupert? What went in your mind that thought this would be a cool thing for you to do?
A variety of things. First of all, David is a superb director, and the idea of him and trying his hand at the work intrigued me greatly. But then as I slowly realized that the play, you see, is set in 1895, and as I gathered that Hubbard Hall itself existed, was functioning and flourishing as a theater venue in 1895, I thought, you know, I could relocate the show. I could make it be that we are not in London in 1895 watching a British music hall company perform The Mystery of Edwin Drood, but that somehow this poor company has gotten stranded in upstate New York.
No, I think stuck is the word.
No, I'm an upstate New York person myself. So
I live in Cambridge, and I still say stuck, but go ahead.
And they're stranded there trying to earn their steamship passage home. And we could actually just acknowledge exactly where we are, that we're in Hubbard Hall, and that I could work in a lot of local references. And David helped me in researching that. He provided me with a lot of the history of the area. So we've incorporated the locale into this work that has been performed on Broadway, but never in this format. Never have they been to New York prior to now.
And it must be really interesting for you, David, of sort of seeing this take shape in your really in your own backyard.
Yeah, and I should say in terms of the hall, I mean, something that people should know is how gorgeous this production has ended up because, in part, we still have original scenery flats from the 1890s that were painted in the 1890s that we've had there in the hall. We're using those in the production. Two of the scenes are entirely outfitted with scenes from the 1890s. And we have still our grand drape that's also in the show and is written on the back with artists from the 1890s and turn of the century. So we, in some way, have been talking in this production and the cast about how we're sort of engaging ghosts that are in the space, engaging the history. And you can kind of time travel in this production to actually go back to that 1895 Hubbard Hall.
So yeah. Talk a little bit about Drood originally, of what the idea was, Rupert, and then how it has come so far. I mean, when it was done making the Broadway rounds, did you think you were done with it?
No, not at all, because the show invites change because the audience changes the show every night and has been doing so since its inception in 1985. And again, it was had a wonderful revival in 2012 and 2013 by the Roundabout Theater on Broadway. It's been done in London. It was done just last year in Japan in Japanese. It's been done all over the world. And the show is never the same. The audience affects the outcome. It's not just voting on whodunit. You vote on other questions as well. And there are, I'm not saying that the actors have to memorize 450 completely different endings, but there are 450 different combinations of endings. And the exciting part about the show is that one of the most interesting, I think, is that the actors themselves do not know as the performance begins who will get that star turn at the end of the show. It's up for grabs every evening. They don't know which of them will be lovers by the end of the story. So it invites change, and I had already created what we sometimes call the Chamber Edwin Drood or the All-Star Edwin Drood, which was performed with a tighter cast and a somewhat shorter script, so that in more keeping with the music hall tradition, which is different from a Broadway tradition. You don't have 25 people with a dedicated bunch of dancers. And in the chamber version, all the principals do all the work themselves. They are the chorus as well as the featured players. So it always was in my mind that there would be new versions of it. I've been asked to write a Drood Jr. for elementary schools, maybe where there's only one murder, and yeah, which is much more wholesome, of course.
Yes.
If it's only one.
It's the gateway for the children, sure.
I actually there was a new version. I did a musical a couple of years ago with David Hyde Pierce called Curtains, which
yeah.
I wrote with the Cantor Neb.
Yeah.
And they've just put out a Curtains Junior, and I was talking with some students who were performing it, and one person playing the stage manager in the show said to me, "Is there any difference between our version and the Broadway version?" And I said, "Well, in your version, you get to live in Act Two. There's one less person murdered."
So, well, that's a plus, so sure.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a nice thing to look forward to, living, which is actually sort of the message of the show at the end of it.
Now, will you get to see this version at all? Will you get up here?
Oh, I'm there. I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Tomorrow night,
I can't wait.
Night.
And I'm so, yeah, and I'm going to be talking with the cast. I'll probably give them all new lines just before the performance. No,
oh, they'll love you.
And they've got to memorize so much. At this point, I am their least favorite person on earth because they've got to all have all these different lines memorized, many of which they will never get to say during the run of the show. But the orchestra has to be prepared to play it, and they have to be prepared to sing and act it. So right now they're probably cursing the day I wrote the show, but it'll be fun for the audience.
Now,
sure.
This is a one-off question, I promise you. But, you know, the last time you were on our program, we were talking about your novel. And which
yes,
was in
indeed.
Second, and because you've what two novels, right? You, I think you were on for both of them.
Yes,
and
yes, Where the Truth Lies, and another one called Swing.
Yeah, and now will you be writing another novel?
I am writing another novel at this very moment. Simon & Schuster is very anxious to find out where I am.
And screw him, don't tell
him. Pages I'm prepared. Yes, exactly. It's actually called The McMaster's Guide to Homicide. It's the first in a series. And it's a bunch of tongue-in-cheek self-help. It's a self-help guide to murderers set in the 50s in a secret location where you go to a very fine and luxurious conservatory to learn how to be a much more elegant murderer and to only commit murders that are absolutely necessary. It's all for fun, of course.
You know, I just have to say this, and I don't know, maybe you'll be mad at me if I do, but I don't know how you take this. But
I would never.
Okay, well, so so many people probably know you as the guy who wrote the Pina Colada song. And
do you really think that's true? Really?
Do you embrace
I'm
that?
Stunned.
Do you embrace
I'm
that,
stunned.
Or do you?
You know, it's funny, but I thought that, first of all, quick answer is I absolutely embrace it. It's in the early years after Escape, the Pina Colada song was it was the last number one record of 1979, the first of 1980. Therefore, I was at the top of the charts for two decades without interruption. At first I resented the song because it so eclipsed everything else I had been doing. It was a cut from my fifth album. I had already done an album with Barbara Streisand singing my songs. I thought when Drood won the Tony Award for Best Musical and all that went with that, I thought that would definitely make that song sort of just vanish. But funnily enough, it won't go away. It's in movies constantly, and there's a generation of kids who sing it to me, and they get very excited when they find out that I'm the fellow who wrote it and sang it.
Yeah.
And I think, but you weren't an embryo at this point in time in the history of music. You didn't exist. How do you know it? And I do find now that it's interesting. Most of the articles that I read about myself, even when they're writing about the mystery of Edwin Drood, will say, Mystery of Edwin Drood, written by Rupert Holmes, best known for Escape the Pina Colada song. And it's just going to be with me. I said to someone once, I have a vision of my tombstone, and it is in the shape of a pineapple.
Used it in the marketing, David, at all? Or?
You know, we haven't used that because I think a lot of people do know it. But I have to say, I teach at Skidmore College as well, and when I was talking to my current class about this production, the first question that one of the undergrads had was, you mean the Pina Colada guy?
Yeah.
And I said, yes.
There you go.
Yes, that's the reference. Yes.
Yeah.
If it makes you come to see the show, yes.
I did a stage adaptation of John Grisham's A Time to Kill, not a musical, straight play on Broadway a couple of years ago.
I saw that show.
And midway through rehearsals, the cast turned and said, you're not that Rupert Holmes who also, you're that guy? Putting the two things together was a little tough for them. It really was.
At the moment,
I'm adapting Agatha Christie for the stage, and I'm trying to keep from the Christie estate that I'm the Pina Colada guy, you know. Trying to keep it secret.
Now, David, so it seems as this, because as the show unfolding, there's a lot of mayhem here. So what is that like to direct?
You know, it's a lot of plate spinning. It's just as Rupert said, cast have got to all learn different confessional songs at the end. You've got a 7-piece orchestra. You've got dance choreography. But it's been amazingly fun. I mean, this process has been so fun for the entire company, and it activates the space in grand new ways. So it's been a lot of work, and it's been a lot of process, but it's just been a joy. And I think for the audience, I mean, the show ultimately is about celebrating life, I think, and having 2 hours of great fun in the theater and thinking about grabbing your life while you have it. And so that kind of celebration and energy is what fills the hall for this show, and I think is the opportunity of it that's so amazing.
I've also heard what a lot of the cast, what David's cast at Hubbard Hall is saying about their approach to the roles and working with David on it, and I'm actually very inspired by their comments. I think they're going at it with great a great sense of energy, adventure, and glee. And those are all wonderful things to bring to a role. And because of some anomalies in the casting that David has done here, I've actually scripted this two new characters in the play that never have existed before just for this Hubbard Hall version. I'm not going to say they differ widely from the original characters, but they're definitely new people on that stage. And it's been so much fun for me to work on this and just re-envision it as this situation where this motley group of music hall performers find themselves in upstate New York.
You have a character. There's a character from Casuyuna.
Yeah, so there's a character named Durdles. The Durdles is the character within Drood. There's a character named Joe Merriweather who plays Durdles in the company, and he's actually an American from Casuyuna that they've pulled in. So there's not only references to Cambridge, it's not only set in the hall, but one of the members of the company is now from Casuyuna, one of these new characters that Rupert's referencing. And it's been amazing for me. You know, I've worked on a lot of classics, I've worked on a lot of new work, but I've never worked on a classic that is now also a new work.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of the amazing part of this process too.
Well, what a production. It's The Mystery of Edwin Drood. It runs at Hubbard Hall in Cambridge, New York. It opens tonight. The big opening's tomorrow night.
Previews tonight.
Previews
tomorrow
tonight.
Night's the big opening. Yep.
The big opening runs through December 3rd. To visit, to learn more, you can visit hubbardhall.org. hubbardhall.org. It's The Mystery of Edwin Drood. Rupert Holmes and David Andrew Snyder, I thank you so much for being with us. Have a blast. And, you know, Rupert, I hope you actually get to Casuyuna tomorrow.
It's on my agenda.
You know,
it will be a
zip you by the lake.
It will be be the fulfillment of a lifelong dream.
We'll bring him over to we'll bring him over to the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Have a couple beers, and then you and I, David, we'll bring him over to Casino.
Yep, sounds good.
Sounds good.
That's great. You have some excellent beers up in that area, do you not?
Absolutely.
Yes, you do.
Oh, we'll make sure you know that as well. Okay. HubbardHall.org.
Show a pleasure again.
Rupert, thank you very much. A pleasure.
All right.
WAMC.org/roundtable, and you can see the link posted with this interview as well. David, congratulations. Have a great time.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña colada,